Well, what I want to speak on for a few minutes is 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. Now, there's some question about the translation here and the Greek, but I'm taking the Authorized Version and other versions, which it'd be the one you know, I think. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Well, you do know it, yes. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. In this version here, the Authorized, he is in italics, means that they've supplied this. And there is some question about where the precious should apply, but I'm taking it to apply to the Lord Jesus Christ here. That's my view of the text. The context is that it's speaking about the Lord Jesus, very clearly. Unto you which believe, therefore, he is precious. Let me have a word on believe just for a moment. This is a very important word in the New Testament, well, in Scripture, generally. Unfortunately today, more and more people, it seems to me, are reducing that kind of believing to mental agreement, mental assent. They accept the facts of the gospel. Jesus came into the world, born of Mary, Bethlehem, the cross, and so on. But that is not what the Bible means by believing. Romans 10 tells us it's believing with the heart. It's a trust in Christ. It's a reliance. It's a dependence. And what Peter is saying, and the whole context, if you read the whole letter, is he's addressing people who have a living trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trust him. They know him as their Savior. And he says to these people, unto you, therefore, which believe, trust Christ, he is precious. Now, let's see what he's saying here. He's not saying that the church is precious, and I'm not saying it's not precious, but it's not the church he's talking about. It's not religion. It's not any confession of faith. We were just talking about the 39 articles. You could talk about the Westminster Confession. You could talk about the 1689 Baptist Confession. You know, there's all sorts of confessions, but it's not the confession he's talking about. Christ is precious. The person of Christ. And he is saying to these believers, unto you who believe, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is precious. Now, at our age, with respect, we're of a certain age, it'd be very easy to talk about he was precious when we were young, when we first came to know the Lord. He was precious then. But the truth is, the older we get, and the more difficult the days, surely the Bible shows us that Christ is increasingly precious to us. It's not a past experience, it's a present experience. He was precious when we came first to know him, yes. But he's been precious, I know I can say this to you, I don't know your experience, but you've had many experiences in life, and I know that you would have found Christ precious time and time again. You would have found him precious in difficult times, trials, afflictions, setbacks, disappointments. And as we get older, and as we come to a dying day, how precious would Jesus be then? What must it be to be without the Lord Jesus Christ when we come to die? And then the judgment and eternity. What would it be to enter eternity without Christ? How precious it is to know we have a Savior, Redeemer, who's ever living to make intercession for us. Precious. Beyond description for value. Infinite in value. Precious to us. John Newton said, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Soothes his sorrows. Calms the troubled breast. I don't know if you know the hymn by Newton, another hymn. What thinking of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Some take him a creature at best, a man or an angel at most. But he says, I can't trust him for my salvation unless I'm sure that he is God. If an unbeliever was listening to this, what would I say to him? It's not church, it's not even reading the Bible. I'm not saying a word against reading the Bible, but it's knowing Christ. Christ is precious. Samuel Medley wrote a hymn. I don't know if you know about Samuel Medley. Samuel Medley very often wrote a hymn that the congregation would sing on a Sunday after he preached. And very often the text was the last line of each verse. So the congregation would sing it, and it would drive it into their minds and into their hearts. Now, he hasn't got it in the last verse here, but you can see what he was preaching on this Sunday. Jesus is precious, says the word. What comfort does this truth afford? And those who in his name believe, with joy this precious truth receive. To them he is more precious far than life and all its comforts are. Whatever things men precious call, Christ is more precious than them all. He's precious in his precious blood, that pardoning and soul-cleansing flood. He's precious in his righteousness, that precious, holy, heavenly dress. In every office he sustains, in every victory he gains, in every counsel of his will, he's precious to his people still. As they draw near their journey's end, how precious is their heavenly friend. And when in death they bow their head, he's precious on the dying bed. With them may I in heaven be found, and with his precious glory crowned, join the sweet song and there adore a precious Christ forevermore. Well, that's what Peter says here. Therefore, unto you which believe, he is precious. The unbeliever, ask him what he thinks. There is no beauty in him that we should desire him. There's nothing about him. But those of us who have been taught by God's Spirit know that Christ is a precious Redeemer. Blessed be his name. Amen.